Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett. We are not up to sport here, so there'll be no buffering, and you can listen to us without having any rage towards our brand. But we are talking round 14, waiver wire pickups, some trades, some statesman skippers, and some injury reports, as well as a few of the top five things we noticed for the weekend. And as always, we welcome to you, Stevie Fizz. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Just hashtag soccer's terrible. But moving on, had a really good week. And actually, after the show last week, it was pretty exciting. I got to do a mid-season draft with the traders and a few of their riders and a few people from their league, apparently. And a lot of fun. Very interesting to see who was picked. And yeah, it's always nice to see the people on the Twitters, they threw up who they thought should be in the top 10. And I thought it was very interesting because I had some very different opinions. But I really enjoyed it. And I think that sort of stuff's coming out in the Footy Record, and they covered it on the show, the results of the mid-season draft. And it was a heck of a lot of fun, and I certainly think it's worth checking out. But I'll tell you what, boys, in a no-captains 3-4-1-3 league, pick 9, you ain't getting anyone who separates.
No. Yep. Did you pick up Elliot Yeo, didn't you? Elliot Yeo, what a great pick, mate. If you look at it this week, 136. I mean, that was reading the writing on the wall. I do have one question, though, because obviously I'm a mid man. I always go the big mids first. Who was your pickup in the second round?
Kelly. Now...
Oh, geez, that's magnificent.
Well, and the last one was Ollie Wines, who top scored for the week. But we're not... Well, the interesting thing is because when you're picking at the back of the draft, you obviously don't get the outlier player or the one who's, is a difference maker at their position, whatever. So my theory was that I sort of always feel that the defense is a bit weak. So it's to try force the other people's hands. So I'd grab defense with two of the first three picks. And, I look at the other, like my forward line's weak, but I don't worry about that. But I look at their defense, it's a bit weaker. So it's kind of an interesting way to try and manipulate the draft with your early picks, despite the fact that you're at a little bit of a disadvantage with the later pick.
Yeah, no, it's a good way to look at it. And you may not have heard that voice for a few weeks, but he's back from his suspension, and that is the Statesman. Welcome back to you.
And we're back! But it's not quite as appropriate because I've already made a comment. But I'm back anyway. Well, at least for a couple of weeks until I'm overseas again. And I will say the lack of opportunities to not overthink my teams in that period where I've been so busy has actually only been a positive, to be honest. I'm the classic overthinker. So when I've got the time to plan and prepare, and I am a planner, I probably go way too serious in the thinking of what I do. And it's amazing how well it's done all my teams. So I'm right up the pointy end of AFL fantasy, which is probably not too much of a surprise that I'm not in Supercoach, but I am doing well in AFL fantasy. In finals contention in all my draft leagues except the Listener League Keeper, although the rebuild is almost complete there, and I'm actually starting to hit some form with a back-to-back win, knocking off top place last week, and I think third place or fourth place this week. So the moral of the story is I don't need a doctor because I know what's ailing me, although it is fantastic to be back, gentlemen.
Well, it certainly wouldn't have been me because I'm fourth place in our keeper league. And Steve, you've dropped the ball this week and had a lot of laid outs, but it's pretty interesting that top four race in the keeper league.
Well, what's interesting is I actually ended the season thinking I was rebuilding. And I sort of you're all so bad that I'm somehow on top and all that sort of thing. But whatever, it's fun.
Hey, well, on the Cinderella story, out of nowhere, second last up in the top four now. So,
geez, I had all, the low draft picks and you're the Cinderella story. Kidding me, aren't you?
It's all about the right picks. Tommy Mac at the end of the draft. Oh, it's all good. Yeah, all good.
Well, I will say with that keeper league, obviously I was the Premiers, just in case you didn't remember. I beat you, Steve. But I was the Premiers last year, had the last pick in every single round, but I still thought I drafted quite well. But after three rounds, I'm looking, it's rebuild time. That's how quick you need to make a decision in the old draft league format. And I think my rebuilds worked reasonably well. I'm close and probably need one more, but I'm close to having a pretty good 12 that I'm hanging over for the following year.
Fair enough as well. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, at Statesman33, at STPorter15, and at The Potato Bake. You can search us on Facebook as well, search The Draft Doctors there, and check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. And we're also selling the merch these days. You can check that out at spreezy.com/thedraftdoctors. Get in while they're hot. Hot people. But moving on now to the top five things we've noticed this week. And Steve, why don't you kick us off with what you've noticed for this week?
Yeah, Carlton, really poor. I noticed that. Don't know if anyone else picked up on that. It was reading between the lines, a lot of deciphering hidden messages. But what I don't understand is, and they tried this in the previous match, is they seem intent on trying Jack Silvani as an inside mid. And I don't understand it. He, I think Champion Data had him last season as the worst one-on-one player for winning contests, so he won the least percentage. But he was playing on Fife at times. I don't understand it, but they're doing it. So I don't know, until Matt Kennedy comes back or something. I don't know. But I would have thought you'd want to try SPS. He actually had a pretty good game in an unfriendly role. But that's what they're trying, so I hope you lose, Carlton. Port Adelaide. Port Adelaide. Rocky's finding his feet. But everyone ran through the middle. All the mid-forwards, they're Gray, Rocky, Chad. I wouldn't worry about the defenders' poor score against the Bulldogs because the ball simply wasn't going down that end. Jono, as a Bulldogs fan, you can attest to that. What can you tell us about the Bulldogs?
Well, when you have seven injuries and down two rotations, actually the Doggies were actually going pretty good in the second quarter until all those injuries hit. But after that, two rotations down, your main ruckman's got a busted thumb, another midfielder with a dislocated thumb, and Toby McLean, arguably one of their best players, with a shoulder injury as well. Don't know how effective he was. Makes it pushing soft shit uphill, basically.
See, I know how you're a liar because you said Bulldogs had a ruckman, and we clearly know they don't. So put down the pipe, Jono. Richmond, start rucks against Richmond. We know that. Just bloody every week someone's cranking out a massive score against them. But I cannot remember, Statesman, and you might be able to attest this, I cannot remember a great team being so unfriendly for fantasy. No one's turned up for them today.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Sean Greig.
I don't even consider. I don't honestly consider any of them, to be honest, any of them in my AFL fantasy team. They're just Richmond, I just bypass.
Yeah, I know Greig got it in Supercoach, but in fantasy, no tons. None. It's unbelievable. Like in Supercoach, you have to get a share of the points. So, and also, we saw the trialing of the four umpires this week. And free kicks were up, shock horror. They were up 6 per match, from 41.8 to 47.5 this week. So get ready for more free kicks next week as well, I would suspect, because they're doing it in every match in round 14 again. But that is a significant jump. That's some sort of percentage that I can't even work out. So,
no, I don't mind. It's an extra set of eyes on the contest, and so that the free, most of the from the games that I saw, most of the free kicks were there anyway, so it's a good thing.
I'm just saying it's a big jump. You know, like I looked at all the other weeks, and 44 was the highest. Most were about 41. We had some at 38. But that's a significant jump on average per game, six more free kicks. I don't mind it. I'm just saying it slows the game down. It frustrates fans. So
you're talking about 16-17%, by the way, if that helps your discussion.
Well, I knew it was more than 10.
And less than 20, yeah. Well done.
And what have you got for the things you noticed there, Statesman?
Well, who would have thought we found a new tagger in the AFL competition? Who would have thought it would be Dan Han? Well. How do you fix an underperforming mid? Well, you give him the tagging duties. No good for owners, but this should cover that it's actually injury that's not the concern, because you don't get sent to cover Andrew Gaff if you've got a problem running. Would that be fair,
James?
That is
fair.
That would be fair.
So maybe this is just a way to try and get him switched on, get him back into finding where the football is. But I wouldn't have thought 18 months ago, two years ago, that Dan Han, one of the premium and one of probably the top 10 midfielders going round, was going to be moved to being a tagging role. So that's an interesting one for Dan. Second up, is there a more versatile player in the competition than Elliot Yeo? Seriously, this man can play anywhere and win his role. The only one I wouldn't say is ruck, but if Sean Grigg can do a good ruck job, I reckon Elliot Yeo could as well, just quietly. But why would you, with them having quite a few stocks in there? Although, from what I've seen this year, it looks pretty certain that he's going to be mid-only for the remainder of the future. He's just so dynamic in that midfield and gives them that X factor. So if you're in a keeper, it's a possibility to have a look at him as a sell-high option. Because once he's a midfielder, he's actually part of that sort of mid-range ranks. If you're not in the running and he's sitting there plugging away, he can be someone else's D1 and then turn into someone else's M3. You've got something big to sell.
I remember thinking along the same line. Well, maybe not thinking along the same lines, but I remember there was a certain mid-forward last year named Jack McRae who...
Oh, yeah.
So, Yo's...
McRae's no good. He only got 44 this week. He's out for a month.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just saying,
But you're right.
A good player is a good player.
No, very, very true. And he has a pretty high ceiling. I think we've seen him do 150s, but I don't think we've actually seen it enough from him to actually think. He's been a slow build to become a premium player. McRae was a second year ton.
Yeah, no, that's fair, but I don't know, man. You'd want to be getting a serious haul. But you want some
value.
But I don't know that you'd get it on Yeo. I think he's got that bit of stank because he's been that. I don't know. It's an interesting one.
It's a discussion point, at least. If the deal's right, I'd seriously have a look at it. Lachie Neale is a scoring gun, is number three. But as we know, Ross is not a fantasy player, nor does he support the scoring roles for Mr. Neale when Michael Walters is in the team. So the averages when Michael Walters for Lachie Neale, when Michael Walters play, his average is below 100. For the four games that Michael Walters has either been out this year or injured early in the game, Lachie is averaging 118.25. That's a 26-point difference for when Michael Walters is out versus Michael Walters is in. So it's purely role. So it's one you need to look at longer term, but I think Michael Walters is a constant injury risk. And does it take a point in time where they say, well, Walters should be only 20% mid, even though he plays so well, but his body's at risk and maybe we leave him down forward. And maybe Ballantyne is the reason why Michael Walters is pushed up to the midfield, because you've already got that small forward. But Lachie Neale is so much a better scorer when Michael Walters isn't in the team. So be mindful of that, especially when you're doing captain selections. My next one is Oliver Florent. He was my tip in the Rising Star. And, gents, he has some great form in the last couple of weeks, and really impressed the way he can handle pressure. Really coming into his own, and a great pickup in keepers. Sees in your team, Steve, and I think that's a magnificent pickup, and no doubt from the waiver wire, because I'll talk about him a little bit later on. But he's rising up the ranks. He's got some real opposition for that Rising Star Award. There's no doubts about that. But if he continues his form, he'll be in the top three in the Rising Star at the end of the year. And last but not least, the Gold Coast. Wow. They could have sent shockwaves around the footy world this week. And it's probably now the loss that's going to burst the bubble for them. They've got so many injuries, so many young players. And you think whoever's playing against them, there's going to be good points up for offer each and every week for the remainder of the season now. That's probably really hurt the Gold Coast. That would be really deflating from where they got to that game and where it ended up. But it could have been a massively different story if they didn't allow that last goal to be kicked against them.
Well, they should have won the game by 10 goals anyway, but that's a whole other story. And the interesting stat that came out, they haven't kicked a fourth quarter goal in over a month now.
Wow.
Can't win matches like that. Some of the things I noticed on the weekend, coming off the back of that Gold Coast Suns game, Alan Richardson, he was in survival mode. Finally put Jack Billings into the midfield, and look what happened. He actually scored quite well. I think you put the Twitter poll out, Steve, that will he survive after the bye, yay or nay? And but I think the nays had
The nays had it, and it just dripped, like, and I tweeted it out at halftime, and it was a roaring nay, and it's the poll just ended, and it actually shifted back to a 50-50 split. So
wow,
obviously Jake Gresham might have saved Richo's bacon, but man, a bye is a good time to sack a coach, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Oh yeah,
yeah, they're in a heap of trouble. Shane Biggs, he should never be seen at AFL level again. Yes, he's a premiership player with the Bulldogs, but he was horrendous on Thursday night and the direct cause of Port Adelaide kicking at least two goals through his fumbles and mishandling of the balls. The Bulldogs have got some quality defenders coming through. They've got Bailey Williams, Aaron Norton should come back through injury. You've got Marcus Adams as well, so there's no reason why Shane Biggs will be in that AFL team anymore. He'd just be the bit player from now on. Man-on-man footy. We saw the Dogs and the Saints both go the extra man, either in front or behind the ball on the weekend at the first quarter. And we saw they got well and truly towed up. But in the second quarter, they both went man-on-man and actually both played some pretty good football after that. So the old one-on-one contest around the ground stopped a lot of scoring happening. So I'd like to see a lot more of it that way. We saw was it Brown and Tommy Lynch on Saturday afternoon in the forward line there, even though he did kick a bag full there, Tommy Lynch. But it's good to see man-on-man footy. We don't see enough of it these days. And your boy, Steve, the sick dog, James Sicily. He is an out-and-out star. Had a kick three goals on Saturday night. Tunned up again in both formats. ADP of 83 this year. Absolutely criminal. Steve, you and I both had him in the early teens, in 11th, both in Supercoach and AFL Fantasy, in 13th and 14th as well. But just on his averages alone, he is the third highest averaging defender in Supercoach with 105 and the seventh highest in AFL Fantasy with 94 average there. So at an ADP of 83, he is returning some massive value for anyone who picked him up there in those mid to late early rounds. So massive return there for the sick dog. Moving on now to our waiver wire pickups. And when we do talk about our waiver wire pickups, we use Ultimate Footy 75% ownership rules because the pools are pretty bare these days. So we've upped it up just to find a few more gems in the pool. And I'm going to kick it off with Hayden Crozier. He's in 23% of teams. We saw Matty Suckling out with that Achilles injury. We for a few weeks. Crozier took over that Matty Suckling role, the general down back, taking the kick-ins, kicking it long from defensive 50. So he scored quite well, probably his best score of the year, actually, for Hayden Crozier in both formats. So he'll be floating around in a few defences, a few pools, sorry. And the Doggies had their bye, so a great little pick-up there. Dan Howe in 74% of teams. His last 2 weeks, and he scored 90s in AFL Fantasy and the tons in Supercoach as well. He's running through the mids. He does a little bit of a tagging job, but still he's a big-bodied, tall midfielder, so he can get his own pill. And Hawthorne have an absolute dream run home for the rest of the year. They've got either the second or the third best draw home in terms of who they play. Next one I've got is Robbie Tarrant. He's in 44% of teams. They are playing the Western Bulldogs this week. I know Port Adelaide defenders didn't score as well, but under the bright lights of Etihad Stadiums where favourable weather conditions, Tarrant should be able to intercept and run off half-back there quite easily. And the last one I've got is Lin Jong. He's in only 18% of teams. Played in the VFL on the weekend, had 25 possessions, and he actually set up the Footscray team really well going inside 50. The Dockies need someone with McRae, Lucas Webb out, so I'd be looking to get him. Josh Dunkley is at 80%, so he played quite well as well. He had 20-odd disposals and 9 tackles, but Lin Jong would be a certainty to come in this week.
Yeah, Jono, actually with you 100% on Howe and Crozier. I picked up Howe in our home league, and he scored quite well. But yeah, Crozier looks a great one. I also got midfielder Chris Maston from West Coast Eagles. Only 69% ownership. Did drop a ton against Sydney, which pretty impressive on the on that small ground. Playing against Essendon this week, so that's a pretty handy matchup, I would have thought, for the Eagles. Matty DeBoer, 60% ownership. Lists as a forward. Yeah, 60%. GWS are playing... Oh, I didn't write it down. They're playing someone terrible.
Gold Coast.
Brisbane. Brisbane. And he scored 128 in their last game, for Christ's sakes. Matty DeBoer, giddy up. Mason Cox, forward ruck, 51% ownership. Next 2 weeks, Collingwood play Carlton and Gold Coast. So maybe I check the weather before the match, but I mean, he's just absolutely monstered it in the last match against Melbourne. So I certainly think he's worth a look. Johnny Patton, also playing Brisbane, 56% ownership, is getting certainly a bit of time in the ruck. And Steph's not exactly the best hit-out ruckman, so that's not too bad. And just a couple of guys who are on... Oh, sorry, also Josh Thomas is 81% owned, so he might be floating around in your pools. He's scoring quite well for Collingwood. And a couple of guys who are on bye who are worth looking at, maybe you're not playing the byes. David Armitage, only 50% ownership, came in, actually played pretty well. And Tommy Sheridan, defender for Frio, he hasn't scored less than hasn't scored less than 82 in the last 3 matches, and he's had a bit of a role change. He's playing off a wing, running off the back of the square, so he's someone who's promised for a while, but he's certainly floating around in a lot of pools.
Some quality players there, and what have you got there, please, Statesman?
Well, not too much to add on, but I'll just highlight a couple of young fellas. One who's coming off the bye has only played one game, and one who's got the bye this week, but I think they're both worthwhile for the remainder of the season. And the first one from Essendon is Mason Redmond. So defender, he's in his third year of footy, highly skilled, very clever and very classy. He's only owned by 26%. He's only played the one game this year, being 92 points, and could average around the 70 mark for the remainder of the season. I think they're looking for someone with a bit of class back there, and I think he's the perfect role for him, and can flip up to the wing as well. And we mentioned him before, and it's young Ollie at the Sydney Swans. He's owned by 37%. He does have the bye this week, but is building midfield time and as a forward is scoring very well, 76 in the past 5 games, but over 80 in his last 3 games. So Oliver Florent looks a very classy little player. He's getting close to 20 games of footy now, so starting to get pretty confident about what his task and role is. So Oliver Florent and Mason Redmond, two worthwhile to come off of the waiver wire young fellows who are impressing.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you want to follow the show, you can check us out on iTunes, Stitcher and SoundCloud. Hit the subscribe button. The show will get to your device each and every week without you having to lift a finger. And if you've got a couple of minutes, please do hit the 5-star rating and do leave us a review. We do appreciate it very much. But moving on now to Steve's section where he's got some trades of his buy, sell and hold. What have you got this week, Steve?
Yeah, I got a really good sell, but I'm going to talk to you about my buy first, and it's any Hawthorn player. I don't know. You're obviously not going. It's actually interesting, isn't it? Because you're not going to be able to get Tom Mitchell, and I think you're probably going to have to pay a pretty penny to get Sicily. So the player I've actually identified as a potential buy is Isaac Smith, because he's not a sexy player. He kind of goes under the radar, but Jono mentioned their draw. Listen to this. So they've got Gold Coast, then they got GWS. Okay, that's a bit tougher, but then Western Bulldogs, Brisbane, Carlton, Fremantle, Essendon, and they got Geelong, and they got St Kilda. And he's actually having a banger of a season. He's averaging in the 90s in both formats, close to the 90 in Supercoach, mid-90s in Dream Team. But he's just someone I feel is gettable. Like if you're maybe you're really struggling and you want to and you got Jack McRae and you need to make up some ground, you can trade him down and get Isaac Smith and someone else who's really good for you know to make up some of that ground. Maybe you do a 2-for-1 and trade up to him. I don't know, but to me he's a very gettable player. I would have said Jack Gunston, but I think after his weekend score he's probably going to be a tough add. Maybe it's Jared Roughhead. No one really likes Jared Roughhead. He's not having a great season, so he's possibly attainable as well. But I certainly would be targeting a Hawthorn player. Trading out, Zach Merritt. Okay, Zach Merritt hasn't had the bad year that you think he's had. He's had that injury-affected score in round one, and he's actually averaged over 100 in both of the formats over the last 8 weeks. But over the next 6 weeks, five opponents are either tagging every match or almost every match. So you've got West Coast, North, Gold Coast, Fremantle, and Sydney. So four of those teams four of those teams definitely run tags, and West Coast sometimes. The only team that doesn't definitely run a tag is Collingwood, and they're actually pretty hard to score against anyway. So I actually think Zach Merritt is a pretty... If you can sell him for the right deal, obviously you want a good deal. Zach Merritt's a quality player, but that is not a great run of matches.
Especially leading into your finals as well, if you start early. Yeesh. Moving on now to the Statesman Skippers. What have you got for us this week, please?
Yeah, well, obviously during the buys, it's a bit of a challenge, but you get the double hit at the loophole, which is always fantastic when you've got the Thursday and Friday night game. So very quickly, look at the loophole options. Of course, you've got to go the Yo option if you got him. Andrew Gaff, especially against Essendon, because I don't think Essendon will tag Andrew Gaff. He got trimmed down by Dan Hand over the weekend, but I think he'll run free against Essendon. And, of course, you've got Zerrett. So he's an option. That's if you haven't sold him on Steve's advice. So with Essendon unlikely to tag, I'll be going the Yo or Gaff if you have them. For the Port and Melbourne game on Friday night, I think Gorm will absolutely hammer the unwell Paddy, who's been performing quite well and bravely soldiering on without Achilles issue. But I think Gorm will just be too fit and rested and smash out a massive score. And, of course, you've got all the mid forwards for Port who should score pretty well, being Rocky, Wingard and Gray. And is it great to see Wingard back in fantastic form? Two massive scores in the last 2 weeks. And because they've won those two games, I'm hoping, and it depends on what happens this week, but I'm hoping that means that they're actually going to support those roles going forward for those players so we can get a bit of consistency of scores. I think the biggest problem we've always had for the Port players is their constant change of roles. You know, Robbie Gray being a midfielder for the first 8 weeks and then all of a sudden closing down and just being a forward pocket small. He kicked 6 goals 1 week as a forward pocket, and all of a sudden he stayed down there. But they should rotate them all, but give them good time, should get good scores. So there's heaps of options there for the loophole. And, of course, we've got to go the captain risky. And Steve and I are thinking exactly the same. If you want to go a captain risky for the remainder of the season, just pick a Suns opponent. That's what you should do. So this week, the massive captain risky has got to go towards the great man himself. We don't know if he'll get injured, he'll get suspended, or he'll put on a massive score. This week, he put some goals on the scoreboard as well, and that's James Sicily, the sick dog himself. He could go absolutely massive against the Gold Coast. So if you haven't got any healthy options during the bye rounds, don't be afraid to chuck the big C on James Sicily and enjoy the game.
Yeah, just on Sicily, it was interesting on Saturday night, a lot of the Adelaide players were trying to stir him up and get under his skin, but he just went the serenity now and passed off the buck and moved on.
Serenity now. Serenity now. Festivus for
exactly
the rest of
right.
Us.
So he looks like he's turned a corner there and just calmed down a little bit, the old sick dog, which is good.
Yeah, let's see it happen for a month straight, mate, before
touching
not
1 week. Touching wood, because we all want him to play. And he is not here this week. Our good friend Cam McLaughlin, he is in transit off on some AFL junket, we're imagining. We're not too sure, but the injury report this week, mainly out of the Western Bulldogs, we had Easton Wood completely ripped that ham bone. He's gone for the rest of the season. They're saying 10 to 12 weeks. Not really fantasy relevant, but in terms of the Western Bulldogs structure, very relevant. So he's gone. Jack McRae, he's got a lower end grade hamstring, so that's 4 weeks they've confirmed.
I want to talk about Jack McRae.
Okay.
What do you do with Jack McRae?
Let's talk about
what
Jack.
Do you do with Jack McRae if you're an owner?
Well, you got to hold him.
What have we got? 4 weeks. That goes right until finals time.
This is interesting because we did the redraft the other night and everyone was saying Jack McRae, the Twitter said Jack McRae could be number one overall. People love Jack McRae because his average is enormous, but he's had like an outlier 3 games. I'm less convinced on Jack McRae moving forward. Yes, he's a good player and all that sort of thing, but I reckon you could get an absolute haul.
Aaron Hall?
You don't want an Aaron Hall.
No, I don't want an Aaron Hall. I think actually you tried to sell me Aaron Hall in the keeper league, and I'm like, I've got him in one. I've got him in one league. That's enough Aaron Hall for me.
It's a fair call.
You are starting your finals in round 19, and when Jack McRae is expected back, that is the Port Adelaide game. The Doggies will play here in Melbourne, and then they do play St Kilda. North Melbourne, and if you play your grand final in round 22, Carlton. So it's pretty decent fantasy finals there for the Western Bulldogs.
What if you could get,
well,
Sean Higgins and
Gold Coast? No, not your team, Jono. Get away from
Jack
your team.
Crisp.
Yeah,
always thinking about his.
Always thinking about his team. Well, it's actually a good point of reference. His team's actually pretty good this year, but. You know, but you could get, a Parker and a Akers. I think you could get that sort of deal. Like, I'd seriously look at it. Like, depending on his hitting, I reckon you get a really good deal for him.
I think you could, especially if they're a person who owns McRae's in that mid-table and looking to push higher up the ladder.
I mean, if you're sitting on top and you're sitting pretty, maybe don't worry about it. I just kind of get the feeling that the public sentiment on Jack McRae is so strong that you could potentially get a really big deal for it.
Yeah.
That might just be me.
Yeah, don't mind it at all. We saw Jack Bowes, who was actually playing a pretty decent game. He went down with a quad injury. But the biggest injury out of that St Kilda Gold Coast game was Jimmy Webster having an absolute fantastic year. Went down with that groin / abductor injury. So they can be anything from 1 to 2. But I went and drafted you instead. Now you never even played. Trained to whatever God or Shiva. look up to and hoping that it's only a couple of weeks. The Saints are on a bye this week, so if it's 1-2, it's okay. But anything else, you'd be looking to try and get something for him if it's only a short to mid-range injury. But they were the major injuries out of this week. But we do have a bit of a song to end out the show this week, Steve. One of the great listeners of fantasy football has written a song. It was posted by Steve B to the Trader Boys. It's a song about Michael Barlow and just the frustrations of being a Barlow owner, which I can totally relate to. Do you belong on the wave? Why? Just give me one little clue, yeah. At Statesman33, at ST15, and at The Potato Bake. Check us out on Facebook as well. Search The Draft Doctors there and search the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. But here it is, the Michael Barlow song.
Expected average of 94. What the hell am I supposed to do, yeah? Michael Barlow, Michael Barlow, Michael Barlow, Mickey Barlow. But all I've ever learned from Deeds is how to beat somebody without you, yeah. But I know who you were before, and now you never play and you never score. What the fuck am I supposed to do, yeah? Michael Barlow.